This is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
All right, it's just after 9 a.m. on Wednesday morning at time of recording this podcast, and I feel like the country's a little flat after a Socceroos defeat.
Yeah,
their first round match in the World Cup.
It wasn't just a defeat; it was a slaughtering.
It was a shellacking in soccer terms, wasn't it? But the Aussies were up 1-0
at the first nine minutes. Yeah. First 9 minutes, we were killing it. France, obviously, they are the current world champs, so we knew it was going to be a tough slog. But I think it's all up from here, right? Surely we can't lose to Tunisia any worse.
Look, it's a European game. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So for us Aussies to even qualify,
that was a feat in itself.
Incredible thing.
Yes.
So who are we playing this weekend?
Tunisia.
Tunisia.
Yes, and then we have to play Denmark. I don't know why we're talking about this. Niamh Owens from SBS is going to be on the podcast. She knows a lot more than us.
Let's leave it to her. We also talked a little bit about the perfect avocado and Queensland's role in shaping it.
And God, we appreciate the role that they have played, those scientists.
And we break down Aussie slang as well with producer Alicia. What Aussie slang works overseas.
Yeah, and what she knows and what she didn't know after she kept shaming me for using one word in particular all this week.
Our pom in the spotlight, our resident pommy. It's coming up, the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
Now, there aren't a lot of benefits of getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, but this morning we did have one. We got to watch, as we were planning the show and into the show, the very first Socceroos match for the FIFA World Cup, and we were watching it on SBS. Unfortunately, it didn't go the way that we wanted against France. Not unexpectedly, though. But for a full match recap, we have Niamh Owens, who is the host of the SBS World Cup broadcast. She joins us right now. Good morning, Niamh.
Hey, Bronte. Great to chat with you.
It's so good to have you on, Niamh. Obviously, we went down. But how did we play overall, the Socceroos, in our first clash in the World Cup? How did we do?
Do you know what? For the first 20, maybe even 25 minutes, I was feeling really good.
Yes.
It was a great start, wasn't it? The Socceroos were pressing really hard. They were playing a high tempo, aggressive kind of style. They bagged an early goal.
Yeah.
Saw a couple of A-League players combine. Craig Goodwin came into the starting lineup today and he absolutely hammered one home into the top of the net. So we were beating the defending world champs 1-0 20 minutes in.
Amazing.
And we were kind of chatting about what our halftime conversation would be. And then all of a sudden things kind of went downhill fast.
Yeah, I think we went into one of our meetings and it was all of a sudden 1-1 between us and France.
Yeah. By the time, still okay.
Still okay. We can come back from that.
Came out of the meeting 2-1.
Okay, and then
by 6:30 this morning, it was all over at about 4-1 was the final score. So what do you think went wrong with our tactics in order for the game to turn that much? Or was France just that good?
Do you know what? I thought France were amazing. And they've had so many injury concerns in the lead up to this tournament. They were missing their two key midfielders who helped them to the title in 2018. There was heaps of questions over who they'd select in defence. But this wee dude, Kylian Mbappe, is an absolute gun.
Amazing.
And he attacked down the left flank all morning. He made Nathaniel Atkinson's life a nightmare because he's one of the best players in the world. Right?
Right?
And he had a field day. So I think ultimately the fact that France are a country that can replace the likes of Benzema, the reigning Ballon d'Or winner, with Olivier Giroud, who this morning equaled France's all-time goal-scoring record of Thierry Henry. Olivier Giroud scored 2 goals this morning. I mean, the talent just runs so deep.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a class above us today.
Awesome pronunciation of the French names there.
Yeah.
You absolutely killed that. Where to for the Aussies from here?
Well, look, Saturday, Tunisia. Mm-hmm. And we saw Tunisia play Denmark overnight as well. That was a nil-all draw,
yeah,
which going into this one, I thought, you know what, that's a great result. for the Aussies. No goals scored. They split the points. Mm-hmm. But Tunisia played really well against Denmark. They played this aggressive, high tempo, high press football, and it looked like their home World Cup. Their crowd was red and they were cheering and it was incredible. So I actually think Saturday's game against Tunisia, which if you look at the world rankings, should be our most winnable, will be a really tough contest. Okay. And the Aussies will have to dust themselves off.
Right. And so do they need to win against Tunisia and then win against Denmark to even progress?
Look, it's hard to say at this point.
Sure.
A win in one of those games and a draw in the other might be enough.
Ooh.
But in all likelihood, after we conceded four goals this morning, yeah, you're right. Two wins would be really great.
Okay.
Can we just take our hat off for a second, guys, for the real heroes this morning, the people who arriving at work, either, I'm going to say hungover, maybe even still drunk, but the people who went to pubs and clubs across Queensland at 5 a.m. this morning,
yes,
Niamh, to watch
yes.
the game. Incredible effort, that.
Yeah, amazing effort, and they deserve every single coffee they can get their hands on today.
SBS is airing all 64 games
yes.
live and free, host of the SBS World Cup. Thank you so much for your time, Niamh Owens. Love it.
It's so great to chat with you both. Thank you.
This is your Sick Fix at 6.
Okay, so we know that washing your sheets is a very...
optional.
No? Well... I mean, it could be considered that, but after hearing about what is actually in the sheets, you might regret that decision.
I feel like this is one of those jobs we don't do.
Okay, I was going to ask.
Nearly enough.
How often do you wash your sheets?
Oh, you first.
I try to do it every 2 weeks, which is probably
two
a
weeks?
Week longer than I should, but it's just me and I
think that's a lot, mate.
Oh, you reckon? I've been shamed for that before.
I reckon, like, honestly, we'd be closer to every 5 or 6 weeks.
Oh, Cliffo. Oh, my.
Mind you, though, I married a polar bear, so we have the air conditioner on
it's
more
not
often
that.
Than not. Like, our room is quite cold. We're very rarely sweating on our sheets.
Doesn't matter, mate, because this
okay.
study that has come out,
I don't know if
are...
I don't know if I want to know.
Because Betting Kingdom have shared an insight after getting a member of the public to sleep in the same set of sheets for 28 days.
That's what they say all the best scientific research comes from
Betting Kingdom,
don't
that's
they?
That's what I've always
yeah.
said.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a science thing you need solved, straight to Betting Kingdom you
I
go.
I mean, they clearly know beds and they know sheets, so I trust the data that has come from this. Okay, so the person slept in the same bed sheets for a whole month and they swabbed parts of the bed at the end of each week. They then sent them to the University of Seville and...
Petri dishes, I bet.
What they found, researchers found, after swabbing the pillow, the middle of the bed and the bottom of the bed, what they found, the bacteria, a lot of it, was bacteria that leads to gonorrhea.
Oh.
A bacteria that is linked with gonorrhea and appendicitis was in there. Bacteria that leads to a lot of throat infections. So, you know, when you were waking
recently. I'm not licking my sheets.
It doesn't. It's what you're breathing in and it's what you're like.
Right.
Like. Roasting in, essentially. A lot of the bacteria is found on human skin and oral cavity and human stool.
Right, on human stool.
A lot of the bacteria is what is found in your mouth.
Yeah, I mean.
And in your other stuff.
I'm going to be honest with you right now. This, like, it's all very gross.
Yeah.
It's all very shocking.
Yeah.
Am I going to go home and change?
Oh, please I'm
probably not.
Well, I'm not going to listen to you complain about waking up with that sore throat anymore because now you know why.
Mate, don't worry about the sore throat. It's the gonorrhea.
I should be worried about.
That's the real bitch. I think Australians hate nothing more than when they are called out on their behaviour by an American.
Yeah, especially by Americans. I think we can laugh at ourselves, but...
Yeah. Not when they point it out, though.
Yeah.
And it's what's happened. An American comedy writer by the name of Amelia, can't pronounce her last name, not going to try. She's called out Aussies for abbreviating everything.
I see.
Our slang,
our shortened words.
Oh, we do it.
We do.
I don't think it's a bad thing, though. Like, she's called us out like it's a negative.
Oh, well.
And the world's piling on, I should say.
Oh, no.
She did this on Twitter, which is a very negative space anyways, particularly since Elon Musk took over.
Mm.
And it's just sort of forced this massive pile on from around the world.
Okay.
So we thought to test how bad we are when it comes to shortening words and introducing slang, let's bring in our resident Tommy.
Yeah. Hello. It's so good.
Producer Alicia.
Yes.
Test this on.
Try it out on me. I'm the guinea pig here, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because all this week, I think after the show, every single day, I've said to Leash, I've got to go buy some togs because it's obviously getting hotter. Summer's coming. I'm like, togs. I've got to go buy togs. And every day she goes, what are you saying? That was a pretty good leash.
That was pretty good leash. What are you saying?
If that's what I sound
You're
like.
Right. That's what you sound like.
No, but yeah, I've had to think about it. You've told me about 10 times what that means, but it doesn't sound like it should mean.
So togs is swimwear. Bathers.
It does not
like
sound
every
like
Aussie
that.
Knows.
Everyone knows togs.
That. But isn't that what you guys also call the bit that goes between your toes on your flip-flops?
Your thongs?
You mean the just that specific bit?
Plug?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just knew that as the plug.
Close enough.
Look, we've got a whole list here, and we're just going to run them by you. So these are phrases that we as Aussies would shorten and just use every day of the week. There'd be no question about it.
This is a reverse version of my pub quiz.
It is.
It is.
You're asking me instead of me asking you.
It's a very easy thing for you to answer. You just have to tell us if this is used overseas or not.
Yeah, and whether or not you know what it is.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay, number one. Bickies.
Biscuits.
Yeah, and is that used?
Bickies.
Abroad?
Yeah.
I thought
you need
that
a bicky
would be...
with your cup of tea. I feel like bicky is English.
I thought bicky would be used overseas.
Okay, what about kindy?
No.
Kindy.
Never heard that before.
You don't know what it's short for.
I came to Australia. Isn't it short for kindergarten?
Yeah.
Which we don't say in England, so of course I never heard that.
What do you call it?
I've forgotten.
Starting
now.
School, yeah.
Just nothing. To school.
Brekkie. Do you sit down for a hot brekkie or a cold brekkie or a continental brekkie?
Yeah, in England we would say brekkie, I think.
A full English breakfast.
Not as often as you guys would.
Yeah, right.
But
we love a brekkie. Do you go to the servo?
No.
You don't go to the servo?
No, we don't.
Where
go
do you go?
The petrol station.
From?
The petrol station.
Bottle-O?
It's pretty.
You go to the Bottle-O?
No, because in England.
I know who does go to the Bottle-O.
It's all together. You go to Tesco, you can get your bacon, and you can get your wine in the same trip.
And that's a lie because you said in the confession session you don't like bacon. So.
Well, I don't get bacon, but. I didn't say I don't like it. That's a whole different conversation. Next.
Do you get bitten by mozzies? You a mozzie overseas?
Sometimes.
Oh.
What do you mean?
Does it mean a different thing over there?
I would say mozzie, but I'd probably more often say mosquito.
If we said, pull out the mozzie coil, do you know what that is?
No.
You know what a mozzie coil is?
Is that the little green twisty thing?
Yeah.
She knows more than we think. How about, if it's been raining in some places today, would you bring your brolly?
Would you bring your brolly?
I feel like that's very Northern English.
Oh, is it?
Broly.
Maybe that's where we got it
you
from.
You got it from me. I brought that over with me when I moved here.
And one I want to know, I don't say this. I don't know if you say this. Yeah. Tar.
Tar.
Again.
If we said tar, what does that mean?
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh,
again, very Northern English.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, we've taken that one, have we?
Yeah.
We've taken that.
I know. I am a citizen now.
You are. I
don't sound it, but
day.
I know.
What about, did you ever eat a hoppity bob?
Excuse me?
Hoppity bob.
You've made that up.
You've never heard of a hoppity bob?
Not even I've heard of that.
Nah, just made it up.
Oh,
just made it up. Totally made it up.
So you drop that. We just had producer Alicia, Sippy Leash, as we like to call her, in studio to do a bit of an Aussie slang test. But I also realise that this news that I'm about to bring is going to affect her because when we go out to drink, Sleash, which we've done a couple of times now, I often get like a rosé or a Savvy B. You'll get a beer.
Yeah.
And every time you order this, I go, God, why didn't I order that at the bar? What do you get at the bar, Leash?
I think you're talking about Prosecco.
Every single time.
What is Prosecco? Can you guys feel me? Is this, it's a sparkling
it's
wine?
It's a sparkling wine.
Is it a sweeter one? Or?
No, it can be dry.
It's quite dry.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. Just, I only started having it actually 5 years ago when I was over in England.
Only 5 years ago.
Well, it's actually gotten really popular in Australia in the last 5 years.
Right.
The Brits have had it, like they've loved it for a long time. And the first time I had it was in England.
Did this come after the whole champagne debacle? Like, because everyone was calling their sparkling champagne.
Yes.
And then, of course, there was lawsuits and stuff from the wines that came out of the Champagne region of France. So then suddenly sparklings and Proseccos and other things started popping up.
Prosecco is, yeah, it's a cheaper sparkling wine. It's actually...
Well, that's why Leisha's all over it.
It's coming from an Italian variety of grapes. And in the last 5 years, it has the Prosecco market in Australia now is estimated around $250 million.
It's huge.
Huge over here. One of the most sold wines domestically.
Well, you reckon Leash makes up about 5%, 6%?
But it turns out the EU is now saying that Australians will not be able to sell Prosecco anymore. They're going to get rid of Prosecco from our shelves.
Why? Like, aren't we just buying their product? I don't understand.
No,
what's
it's the name. So the European Union has launched.
It's the champagne thing again.
It's coming back. It's launched a proposal to ban Australian producers from using Prosecco as the name of the drink that's produced. So most of our Prosecco comes from an estate in Victoria.
Yeah.
The King Valley. That has some of our best winemakers, and they all produce the Prosecco that we know and love. And now the EU is saying,
can't
nope,
do it.
You can't
this
have
is
Prosecco.
Like the dairy farmers getting cranky with the
feta?
Yeah, and oat milk.
Oat.
They don't like
they don't use like it
anything.
Either.
They don't like anything to be milk unless it has nipples.
Oh,
you're not supposed to call it milk.
What do they want? Oat juice.
That's what they want, oat juice.
Oat juice.
Yeah.
Different kind of OJ.
What is producer Alicia going to drink there? It's not Prosecco.
Oh, God. Well, they want
Drunky
to call
juice.
It, they want to call it something else. It's
grapey
like,
juice.
I mean, grape juice.
Yeah, yeah, juice.
At the most, at its core, we're all just drinking grape juice.
Aren't we?
And I'll drink that over the Prosecco. They want to call it something weird like Verd, not Verve. Okay. Like, can I have a glass of Verd? It just doesn't sound the same.
No.
Love the Prosecco.
It doesn't have the ring, does it?
No. Canberra, it's now like the ban has gone to Canberra and now they're going to argue about whether or not we can have Prosecco or not.
Because that's what we want our politicians spending
fighting
our tax
the
money
good
on.
Fight.
Fighting the good fight. What are we going to call our wine? Can we please, for the love of God, talk about this 30-kilo goldfish that has gone viral?
Leash showed me a photo of this sucker yesterday and I thought it was like from a prop. I thought it was from a movie or something. And then reading more about it, I was like, oh, this thing's real.
Aren't goldfish, like when they're blown up, because this thing is so big.
It's
like
so big.
It'd be like the size of two or three basketballs back to back.
Great use of prop. Like,
well,
not
yeah,
what you
comparison.
To measure.
Yeah, it's comparison.
Yeah.
Because I think you say 30 kilos, it doesn't really give it credit.
No.
But seeing a goldfish blown up, for lack of a better term, you can see what an ugly fish they actually are. Like, you don't notice when they're quite little in the tank.
Shame the fish for its looks.
Fish is like something out of your worst nightmare.
This is why I'm scared to go in the water.
There was an angler named Andy Hackett. He's a Pommy guy, but he was fishing in the Champagne region of France. This is where he caught the 30-kilo goldfish. It's quite well known in this body of water. It's got a small body of water, and it's known as the carrot to locals.
Oh, it's a famous fish.
It's a bit like the Loch Ness Monster or whatever.
I see.
And people, like, they get brushes of it. You know, they'll be in their boats or whatever and it'll swim past. And usually with like a big fish, you won't actually notice because it's bright orange. It's like it's wearing high vis.
True.
Stands out. But the guy had to battle with it for 25 minutes to get it in the boat.
Oof. I hope he let it go. It wasn't. It's not like a trophy fish, right?
No. Did a Rex hunt. Gave it a kiss. Threw it back.
Oh, cute.
I find something. I don't know if you're the same. I find animals, not big animals. Like I love elephants, for example. They're my favorite animal. But I find animals that are bigger than they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah.
Like it's not a size thing.
Yeah.
It's a size in comparison to what they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's scary. So if you see, like I once saw a cane toad about the size of a dinner plate.
Yeah, I get it.
That's scary, you know, when you see huntsman spiders the size of a dinner plate.
Yes.
That's when they're scary.
What freaked me out was the fact that you knew the fact about that goldfish just grow to the environment in which they live in.
So the bigger the bowl.
The bigger the bowl, the bigger the fish.
The bigger the fish. So it makes sense that goldfish living in a lake.
Right, could be that big.
Yeah.
And people, this is my thing with the mermaids. So if we didn't realise there was a 30-kilo goldfish in the water, who's to say that there aren't mermen and mermaids down there?
That needs backstory. Bronte is a believer that mermaids are real. We just haven't discovered them yet.
Yeah.
And, well, mate, this is we've helping. Just found a 30-kilo goldfish. Can't get any crazier. This is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast, and this is the part of the pod where we give away a free Alpha Bucks answer for tomorrow, Thursday, the 24th of November's game.
And this is why it is so important to listen out for this clue, because the contestant we had on today did not know the answer.
Yes, to the clue.
Which we gave
yesterday. To the answer we gave away. It's not good enough, guys.
You can't pass on a question where you've basically got the answer for free.
That's right.
Getting you one step closer to that $1,000. So the clue for tomorrow is bacon.
Oh, bacon.
Yeah.
Love it.
Love it.
The clue.
Know it.
And the product.
Yeah, exactly.
Both good. B is your letter. Bacon is your free Alpha Bucks answer. We'll play again after 8 on Thursday morning. Good news. Avocado lovers rejoice.
Guilty. Me.
An even better tasting avo is on the way thanks to a breakthrough by Queensland scientists. All I do is win,
no matter what. Honestly, Queensland scientists are the best in the world.
Queensland scientists bat above their average.
Cervical cancer vaccine.
I'm always reading about Queensland scientists doing good things.
COVID vaccine.
Yeah, and avocados.
Avocado.
Good tasting avocados. Right up there with that important stuff.
Seriously.
You just listed. In a world first, the University of Queensland scientists have completed mapping the genome of the avocado. So okay. I guess that's all the science.
The family
stuff.
Tree of an avocado?
But yeah, like the balls on the sticks and
yeah,
stuff.
Right.
The science thing. They've mapped all that out for an avocado, which is a world first.
Good on you, Queensland.
Dr. Onkar Nath spent his entire PhD studying Hass avocados. Not all avocados. Hass.
As a good person
avocados.
Would know, Hass are the superior.
Hass are the best.
Shepherd avocados can go to hell.
Yeah, right. Controversial.
I mean, if you farm shepherd avocados, I appreciate you. But
thank you for listening. But yeah, avocados suck. No, we are right. So they say here, the hash genome is 98% perfection. Like they're 98% of the way there when it comes to the Hass.
That's amazing.
They're literally working on the 1%ers. The first in the world to achieve such a score. And they're saying things like, now they're working on, like, this is how, like, finicky it's got to affect the flavor and the texture of avocados.
Okay.
They're working on exact tree heights, like how big they get.
Uh-huh.
Architecture, so the makeup of the trees and their resistance to pests and diseases. So all that can actually go into making the perfect
avocado.
Flavored avocado.
Oh no. Imagine though, if we're being charged like $21 for a slice smashed avocado when it's 99% perfect.
Yeah, what are we gonna get charged?
When it's 100%.
They are expensive. They're one of the things that I feel like a lot of us will splurge on.
Yeah.
It is interesting to me, like you say, like Queenslanders leading the way when it comes to science, but also Queenslanders leading the way when it comes to an avocado on the palate. Because we're not, like us Queenslanders, we're known for a lot of things, but we're not really known for our refined palates, are we?
No, I think we're pretty, as in you think like basic? Like
well,
we're not experimenting?
When your state dish is a crumb steak... washed down with a 4X gold. Well, no, for our good palates,
no,
are we?
That's fair.
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.